Reading from Deuteronomy chapter 16. Rejoice before the Lord your God, you and your sons and your daughters, your male and female slaves, the Levites resident in your towns, as well as the strangers, the orphans, and the widows who are among you, at the place that the Lord your God will choose as a dwelling for his name. Remember that you were a slave in Egypt and diligently observe these statutes. You shall keep the festival of booths for 7 days when you have gathered in the produce from your threshing floor and your winepress. Rejoice during your festival, you and your sons and your daughters, your male and female slaves, as well as the Levites, the strangers, the orphans, and the widows resident in your towns. For 7 days you shall keep the festival to the Lord your God at the place that the Lord will choose. For the Lord your God will bless you in all your produce and in all your undertakings, and you shall surely celebrate. 3 times a year, all your males shall appear before the Lord your God at the place that he will choose, at the festival of unleavened bread, at the festival of weeks, and at the festival of booths. They shall not appear before the Lord empty-handed. All shall give as they are able, according to the blessing of the Lord your God that he has given you. You shall appoint judges and officials throughout your tribes, in all your towns that the Lord your God is giving you, and they shall render just decisions for the people. You must not distort justice. You must not show partiality. And you must not accept bribes, for a bribe blinds the eyes of the wise and subverts the cause of those who are in the right. Justice, and only justice, you shall pursue, so that you may live and occupy the land that the Lord your God is giving you. A reading from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 4. Then Jesus, filled with the power of the Spirit, returned to Galilee, and a report about him spread through all the surrounding country. He began to teach in their synagogues and was praised by everyone. When he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, as was his custom. He stood up to read. And the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. Then he began to say to them, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." Here ends the readings.
Thank you, Steve, and thank you for inviting me to come and speak today. I don't think I've ever spoken in a Baptist church before. I want to add to my list.
You'll get wet.
Very envious of your worship band here, especially since our organ went foot in the middle of our carol service. So just keep an eye on your musicians at the end. We may choose to try and spirit one away, count them. And as Steve said earlier, it's great that we are able to meet together, to worship together this evening as three churches together. And I've taken my theme from the resources that were offered by Churches Together in England for the week of prayer for Christian unity. So if you're wondering, if you're thinking that maybe the readings were a bit strange, then you can blame them. And the resources were provided by the churches in Indonesia. Indonesia is the largest country in Southeast Asia, made up of more than 17,000 islands. Just imagine that, 17,000 islands. Makes that bit of water between us and the rest of Europe, puts it in perspective a bit, doesn't it? I don't know how many islands there are make up the British Isles. Do you? Anyone? But we seem to have difficulty managing just this big one, don't we, really? Let alone 17,000. Well, there are 1,340 different ethnic groups, over 740 local languages, and 260 million people, of which 86% are Muslim and 10% are Christian of various traditions. So you can see that Indonesia is a very diverse country in terms of language, culture, ethnicity, and religion. And yet they live by this principle that they know as Gotong Royong. I hope I've said that right. Gotong Royong. And it means to live in solidarity and collaboration, sharing in all aspects of life as brothers and sisters. Not, of course, that everything is always peace and harmony. Going Gotong Royong is often threatened, not least by neoliberal approaches to economics. And while the country's economy has grown, that growth has been accompanied by corruption that infects politics, business, and often results in devastating effects on the environment. Meanwhile, those who are supposed to protect the weak and promote justice often fail to do so, with the result that a country rich in resources is burdened by many people living in poverty. There's a traditional Indonesian saying which says, "A mouse dies of hunger in a barn full of rice." A mouse dies of hunger in a barn full of rice. Wealth is often associated with particular ethnic and religious groups. And this, of course, is a cause of tension, which has led to radicalization, dividing some communities and exacerbated by the misuse of social media to demonize particular communities. And I wonder, does this ring any bells within our own country and community? If anything, we might be forgiven, I think, for expecting that a spirit of Gotong Royong might be so much easier to achieve in a country where the majority live on one big island instead of 17,000 little ones, where the people are united in speaking a common language, well, except the Welsh, of course. Just making sure you're still awake, Mike. And where, according to the last census in 2011, 59% of the population identify as Christian, 4% as Muslim, and 3.2% as other religions, 26% as having no religion at all. As far as ethnic groups are concerned, 87% of us identify as white British. The next largest group, 7%, is Asian British, and then Black British, 3%. In other words, in the UK, despite what many think, we are a much less diverse nation than I think we think, and certainly much less than Indonesia. And therefore, surely, it must be so much easier for us to achieve this spirit of Gotong Royong, that spirit of solidarity and collaboration, with all of us sharing in all aspects of life as brothers and sisters, mustn't it? Unless, of course, it's not diversity itself that's the problem. Because after all, God created a diverse world. Why then should God's creation be the cause of tensions? Anyone who takes even the tiniest interest in the news or social media over the past months will know that, in fact, we are possibly as divided a nation as we ever have been. And I'm not just referring to Brexit, but also to the increasing divide between rich and poor, the increasing numbers of people homeless and living on our streets or having to use food banks. While some enjoy salary increases and bonuses at fantastic rates, still others struggle on wages that have fallen in real terms in the last 10 years, and others whose pay is so low that however hard they work, even if they're doing two or three jobs, they can't earn enough to pay for the basics of a warm home with food on the table, yet alone enjoy a happy and meaningful life. Even in the, what are we now, fifth or sixth richest nation in the world, we feel the injustice of unequal distribution of resources that were created by God for us all to enjoy. Alongside this, there has been an increase in xenophobic, racial and religious abuse. And it's the sense of injustice that this creates that fuels division and works against Gotong Royong being established and maintained in our communities. Diversity is often blamed, singling out and demonising particular groups of people. But the injustice that fuels discontent is rarely, if ever, the fault of those who are blamed. It's most often an abstract concept of a certain group of people being blamed so unfairly. People we don't know in person. Those people over there that are the problem. But when the same such people are our immediate neighbours, when we know them personally, then the concept of Gotong Royong can find its place more easily. It's much more difficult to blame on personal friends and acquaintances than it is on people we don't know. You know, it's not you, of course. It's those people over there who are a bit like you but different. They're the ones that cause the problem. In other words, it's not diversity itself that causes tension and division, but our attitudes and our propensity to regard others who are different from us as, well, not as equally valued fellow human beings. Christians, as Christians, we can begin to respond to this reality. First, by acknowledging that we are often complicit with attitudes and approaches that fuel injustice. And by heeding the prayer of Jesus, that they all may be one, from John 17, which is a start to enabling us to combat injustice. The Christians of Indonesia were particularly moved by these concerns and found that for them, the words of Deuteronomy 16, 18 to 20, that Pat read for us earlier, spoke strongly to them, and particularly this particular passage, justice and only justice you shall pursue. Justice and only justice you shall pursue. This passage seemed to speak to them so strongly about their situation and their needs. The passage, the whole passage, is all about the celebrations of the people as they remember and renew their covenant relationship with God. They are instructed to rejoice with their families, with their household servants, the priests, and also the strangers, the orphans, and the widows resident in your towns. Their festivals and celebrations were to be as inclusive as possible, welcoming those who were poor and alone or strangers from other places and lands. Most importantly, bringing people together, enabling them to get to know one another as equals. And so the Indonesian Christians have taken these words as a starting point from which to recover the same spirit of inclusivity across different communities which previously they had enjoyed through Gotong Royong. But this spirit must be rooted in justice. And this is why we have that verse towards the end about appointing judges and officials who will administer justice and root out impartiality and corruption. Jesus affirms this same point when he says that the kingdom of heaven belongs to those who hunger and thirst and are persecuted for justice. The church is called to be a foretaste of the kingdom. However, in their disunity, Christians fall short and fail to be a sign of God's love for his people. Just as injustice has widened the divisions that have divided Indonesian society, so injustice has also fed the divisions of the church. Indonesian Christians speak of the need to repent of the injustice that causes division, but also to believe in the power of Christ to forgive and to heal. They speak of finding themselves united under the cross of Christ, calling for his grace to end injustice and his mercy for the sin that has caused division. And this for me is the point, that we are all united under the cross of Christ. For me, this unity in the church is not about differences between our various denominations, but more about differences between different... It's less about differences between our denominations than it is about differences between peoples. We might do things a bit differently. We might have different histories, different buildings, different music, different approaches to literacy or theology. But we all agree on the essentials. We are all united under the cross of Jesus. Our disunity comes more from within. When we're complicit with injustice in the church, as well as outside the church. When we exclude people for reasons which is beyond their control. When we fail to be hospitable to those that we find to be different. When we spend our time arguing bitterly amongst ourselves instead of focusing on sharing and demonstrating the love of God, the love of Christ, that is where our disunity causes us to fail. And here in our churches, serving this community of Longlevens and Gloucester, we have embarked on a journey to work together as one. And whenever our churches work together in this way, I believe it's a powerful witness to our communities that it's possible to work together, even when we are not entirely united in our methods or our approaches or even some of our beliefs. Yet we can focus on that which does unite us and use it to share the love of Christ amongst ourselves and beyond. So let's continue to work together as one, as much as possible, to tackle injustice wherever we see it, and to promote a spirit of Gotong Royong amongst our churches and amongst the people that we serve. In the name of Jesus Christ, under whose cross we are united. Amen. Thank you.